So, have you ever wondered what it would be like to travel to Mars or even to live on Mars? Some of us may dream about it, indeed. But scientists are actually working towards it with simulation experiments. Put a bunch of people in a closed space without direct contact with the outside world and see whether and how they can cope. The question is, how realistic are such simulations? Well, there's a project in Hawaii funded by NASA on the slopes of the volcano Mauna Loa. And researchers there say it's pretty close to Mars. Brigitte Osterhardt went there to find out if they're right.
I'm on Hawaii, but it doesn't feel like it. I can't see the ocean, there's no beach in sight, and only very few plants grow around here. Mostly, it's red-brownish rocks, as far as the eye can reach.
As you can see, it's pretty Mars-like up here. Geology here is very similar. Although Mauna Loa is much younger, of course, it's a very similar kind of volcano to Olympus Mons, for example, on Mars.
Kim Binstedt is physicist at the University of Hawaii at Manaus. She's also principal investigator of the High Seas Missions, which is short for Hawaii Space Exploration Analog and Simulation. These missions, funded by NASA, simulate a journey to Mars. In her pickup, Kim is taking me up onto the slopes of Mauna Loa volcano on Hawaii's Big Island. Here, at 2,500 meters or 8,200 feet, six volunteers are currently spending 8 months in a dome-shaped tent, more or less cut off from the rest of the world.
We try to keep them as isolated as possible. We resupply food, we resupply water, but for everything else, they're pretty much on their own.
With isolation experiments like this, scientists try to find out how a future journey to Mars could proceed and which problems might occur. This is Jürgen Hill from the German Aerospace Center in Bonn.
With the isolation studies, we can learn a lot about how the crews interact between each other, how they regulate their schedule during the day, how they incorporate experiment time and free time, and how they interact also with the supporting team that is back on Earth.
High Seas is particularly interested in the interactions between crew members and how interpersonal problems might affect the performance of future astronauts. In other words, can they get to Mars without killing each other first? Meanwhile, on Mauna Loa, the so-called habitat has come into sight. A dome-shaped tent about 11 meters or 35 feet in diameter, surrounded by hills of gravel. Next to it, I see a big array of solar panels.
So the hab has got, it's a geodesic dome, and the walls are very thin. So long story short, we need to be quiet when we're right next to the hab. And when you're opening and shutting the doors, try to do it quietly if possible.
Kim parks a few meters away from the habitat. Whispering and carefully placing our feet on the gravel as not to make much noise, we are walking around it. Even though it is several meters high and obviously has a second level inside, it looks quite small to me, considering that six people are living in it for 8 months. Only twice a week, they can go outside in fake space suits to do some field tasks, like taking rock samples. While Kim is taking care of the rubbish that the crew has left in front of the hab for her, I'm eavesdropping at the tent walls. I hear the crew speaking inside. Three men and three women are living inside. All of them are American, except for the female commander, Martha Linio, who is Canadian. Beyond earshot of the habitat, Kim tells me more about the aim of their experiments. All crew members wear badges that record their proximity to other crew members and the volume of their voice. This is why.
Astronauts are very stoic people, typically. And you ask them, how's it going? They say, great. How are you getting along with your teammates? Fantastic. It does mean that when a problem comes up, it's probably been brewing for quite a while before it reaches a level that they'll report it. What we're interested in doing is having these passive measures so that we can detect problems before they become serious.
What do Kim and her colleagues expect to find? One thing they're watching out for is the so-called three-quarter syndrome.
It's something that other studies think they've observed, but we're not really sure. So the idea is that in the first quarter of a mission, you're all excited about being there, you're getting settled in. The second quarter, you've settled into your stride, you're getting real work done, you're looking forward to halfway. The fourth quarter, you're wrapping up, you're hurrying to get things done, you're looking forward to getting home. But the third quarter can be a problem.
This is when astronauts might develop mild depressions or lethargy. Of course, I'm not allowed to talk to the crew in person during my visit, but I ask them via email how they feel. They communicate with the outside world via email and recorded messages, although the delivery is automatically delayed by 20 minutes one way. This is crew member Jocelyn Dunn.
Actually, when you have a bad day, it kind of makes it worse here because you just want to get away, go outside, be alone. And it's just really hard to be in isolated and confined conditions where, like, it just amplifies. If you're having a bad day, you really don't have anywhere to go. You just have the tiny little room that is not even soundproof. So I think that's the hardest part.
Zach Wilson and Commander Martha Linio.
I miss just being able to be outside the most. It's tough to be inside all the time.
It would just be nice to, like, hang out in the sun under a tree and read a book or
something. Yeah, just get some sun rays on your face for once.
Yeah, go for a run or something. Or the other day I missed trees. Like, I just missed having trees around. So, yeah.
Scientists already know that the best way to prevent conflicts and depression in astronauts is to pick a good, easygoing crew with psychologically stable members.
We don't pick crews to cause problems like you might on a reality show. So all that said, there haven't been any big crises. Of course, we see the usual, you know, some people might get a little bit depressed at some times or more energetic at others. You know, when things happen back on Earth, as it were, that can affect your state. And we've seen some of that.
Kim adds, however, that there aren't any final results yet that she can share with me. High Seas is composed of three subsequent experiments with different crews and over different time periods. This is the second mission. Only after the third one will they do statistics to compare all three missions and come up with results. A good approach, says Jürgen Hill from the German Aerospace Center.
With several missions, you have several data points, if you will, of development of the crew interaction. And that really helps in understanding the processes, whether you have seen a one-time phenomenon or something that regularly happens.
Many popular Mars journey analogs, like Mars 500, were done only once. In Mars 500, participants developed mild depressions due to an unnatural day-night cycle in space. On June 13, the simulation ends. The crew will leave the HAP. Then they can finally be in the sun without a spacesuit on. But in August, another crew is going to move into the HAP for the next study, and that one will last for 12 months. Brigitte Osterrad, DW, Hawaii.